Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. When worrying about your problems, stop and shift your focus to being used of God to help someone else solve their problems. And frankly, it will become a key to your personal and financial success and happiness. The thing that helps every believer in the midst of a crisis is to get the eyes off their problem, start helping someone else. There's always someone worse off than you if you just stop and look around.
That's the truth.
Ephesians.
Ephesians 6:8, but this is my husband's favorite, so I'm going to let him read it.
Ephesians 6:8, King James. Knowing that for whatever good anyone does, he will receive his reward from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. When we bless someone else, God will bless us.
Amen.
Not only will God do for us what we do for others, this whole process will raise our level of expectation. Even in the midst of adversity, we need to expect God to open doors for us to bless others. Senator Robert Kennedy once said, "Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream of things that never were and say, why not?" No born-again believer should ever possess a complacent or set-afore kind of attitude, or develop an unwillingness to change, or to reach out to others. If we determine that our lot in life will always be the same, then we're denying the power of personal change and the supernatural promises found in the Word of God.
Like in Numbers 23, verse 19, what a promise. This is in the New Living Translation. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? If you feel like you will never be able to fulfill the things God has stirred in your spirit or the dreams that he's given you, then you're settling for less than his best. Believe me, he wouldn't have stirred it if he didn't want you to be thinking about it and fulfilling it. Proverbs 19, verse 21 in the Classic Amplified says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." So, what is God's plan and purpose for you? What is it that God sees in your future that you don't yet?
Honey, I'd like to ask that question again. What is it? Now think about this. What is it that God sees in your future that you don't yet?
In 3 John 2, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul prospers well and keeps well and prospers." If God wants you to prosper in every area of your life, that doesn't seem to me like he wants everything to remain the same. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 in the Classic Amplified says, "But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day."
You know, if God has given you the power to get wealth, to be successful, that should forever establish that God wants you to be an agent of change, to create a better you and a better world. Think about that. God wants you to be an agent of change. So start thinking about getting out of debt so you can be used by God. When you're in debt, your life's not your own. When you're burdened down with payments, all you can focus on is having enough money to make your payments. When you're living day to day, week to week, or even month to month, you'll never be able to help yourself, let alone help other people.
In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11, In the classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God." You know, it's interesting here, honey, where it says, he, as we sow, he gives us more than enough. He provides for us so that when we, it's just easy, so to speak, to be able to be generous and feel good about it. God wants us positioned financially so we're able to bless other folks who in turn are going to thank God for his loving kindness.
Hallelujah.
Our ability to give to others will be a direct effect on whether or not they praise God. Think of that.
That's powerful. And see, this can happen when you're in debt, when you're a slave to the money lenders and barely able to help yourself, let alone anyone else. Philemon 1:6-7. Philemon 1:6-7 in the Message Bible. And I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do, and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how your love makes me feel, doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. Honey, you remember the old military saying, poster, Uncle Sam, won't you?
Oh, yes.
According to the scripture, God wants you. Every person hearing our voice, God wants you to be used as a generous, debt-free believer who is bringing glory and honor to his name. God wants you positioned to help others. He wants us positioned to make a difference today and tomorrow.
Luke 9:62, Contemporary English Version says, Jesus answered, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom."
If you want a better tomorrow, then you must let go of your desire for a better yesterday. You cannot continually think about what was or what could have been if you want to create a new reality of what will be. So ask yourself this. Do you spend more time thinking about the past or planning for the future? What are you doing today to ensure that you'll have the kind of life you want tomorrow? Do you know how to get from where you are to where you want to be? Your future is not in the past, but is determined by what you do today as seeds for tomorrow's harvest. Ecclesiastes 11:4, the Living Bible. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. See, you need each of us, not just you. Each of us need to start looking for previously unknown opportunities. We need to stop blaming someone else for our troubles and start accepting responsibility for mistakes that we've made.
In 1 John 2:28 in the Message Bible, it says, "Now children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives."
If you're good at making excuses, we've often said this, honey, many, many times. If you're good at making excuses, then that's all you'll ever be good at. Don't make excuses. Make a difference. By asking God to reveal opportunities to you beyond your natural eye or normal thought process. If you feel you're the...
Well, let's put it that way.
If you feel you're the...
you are the way you are
because of a mistake.
That's right.
And that happens. And it does.
Mm-hmm.
Choose to get past it.
That's right.
Determined to forgive and forget. It's over and done. It was an event and not who you are.
Amen.
And I want you to know that sometimes saying that is easier than doing it. But with God's help, you can get it done.
Amen.
And to do it.
Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, Classic Amplified says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. When opportunity comes knocking, we still have to get up and go answer the door. So don't let fear of the future paralyze you. Get up and get going.
You know, honey, I love the Thomas Edison quote. He said one time, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work.
That's true.
Just early this morning, sometime after 4 o'clock, I was praying, and the Lord posed a question for each of us today. Here it is. What would you do if this were your last day on planet Earth?
Wow.
Who would you want to see? What would you want to say to them? Is there something you want to do for them? Would you want to do something for others that would become a part of your legacy? Well, I don't believe this is your last day.
That's right.
But God. God wants you to act like it is, doing things for others. I feel led to ask those questions again.
And when you go to church today, think about this. Who knows? The pastor may even preach on it. But the point about it is think about what God is calling you to. Think about stopping and looking and maybe helping other people.
Absolutely. So here are the questions. What would you do if this were your last day on planet Earth? Who would you want to see? What would you say to them? Is there something you'd want to do for them? Would you want to do something for others that would become a part of your legacy?
Don't put it off.
Yeah. This is important stuff to meditate on, to ponder. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you something else important.
That's right.
Sunday Night Live.
Join us.
6 p.m. Eastern.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says Join Harold and Bev. And you'll be pumped up.
That's right.
By the Word of God.
We're practicing these days because we're going on television very soon.
Yep, we are.
And we've got to keep it to 28 minutes. So we are trying to be succinct and get you a message.
That's
and
it.
Say goodbye on the right time, right?
That's it.
All right.
So join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern and every morning at 8:30 Eastern.
Amen.
And until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.